The views and opinions expressed on Unlock Your Wealth Radio are those of the host, guests, and callers only and are not necessarily the views of Unlock Your Wealth Radio, Heather Wagonalls, or Success Publishing International.
More willpower than a barefoot woman at a shoe sale. Able to stretch a single paycheck for an entire month. Makes money concepts easier than third grade math. Introducing your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagonall.
Work all day, stress all night. Take your mind off your money and focus on your life. Money don't matter for the stuff it bought. It's the way you think, not what you've got, yeah.
Unlock Your Wealth Radio starts now.
Yeah. Get your money mind right. This segment of Unlock Your Wealth Radio is sponsored in part by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at unlockyourwealthradio.com/freebook and click on the link to over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Welcome to the show, everyone. I am so glad you stopped by. I am your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagonalls, and I am flanked by the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry.
Hey, folks.
And we will help you get your money mind right on today's show without running over De Niro, the prosperity poochie, by having some really great things. So we got a great moolah word of the day, and I'm so excited because it's a long time coming, but one of my favorite treasured interviews from Freedom Fest about this whole discrimination of wealthy people is going to be typified here by this interview. I'm so excited to bring you from Lee Skuland. We hear so much in the news today about the 1% and how that the 1% owe everybody else and that we need to tax the rich and the rich can afford it. And at some point, this slippery slope that we're on politically, if we continue along this trip towards communism or socialism or whatever you want to call it, we're going to see some negative ramifications. And today's interview is going to give you an insight to the what happens to people when communism takes over. And Lee Skuland is a survivor of communism, and she escaped communist China, but not until she endured some serious indignities. And so we're going to share that interview with Lee Skuland today from Freedom Fest. I'm really excited to bring this to you because I don't think we truly understand what we're doing here politically when we start regulating behavior and legislating people out of their profits. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like an Atlas Shrugged, they went on strike. But if you think that your life is going to be better, think again, because wait till you hear her interview and what happened to her as part of the 1% in China. So we also have a really great moolah word of the day. And our moolah word, are you ready? Oh, wait a minute. We forgot the key.
We forgot the key.
Oh, my God.
But it gave me time to find out what it is.
Awesome.
Knowledge is power. Not knowing is powerful.
Yay. So we are in our fourth key in our Keys to Riches financial wellness series. And in this financial philosophy, our fourth key helps us to identify what we do know. We're going to do a little knowledge checklist in this week's key. What we do know about money and find out what we should know and how to fill in those gaps in the most efficient and effective way possible so we can both enjoy today and reap the benefits of our future and create security in that future for ourselves. This knowledge checklist, we will also learn the five areas of concern in our 3-5 financial strategy, which are we ask ourselves three questions and answer them, and then we address five areas of concern. And so in this knowledge checklist, we address those five areas of concern about what you need to know when it comes to managing money effectively. And once you're aware of it, then you can take some action to correct it. So that's why this is such a powerful key. So I like it. But What you don't know, for those of you who haven't tuned in for a while, or if you're tuning in for the first time, is the Keys to Riches has gotten so popular it's become its very own show. I'm so excited to share that with you. And so you can find the Keys to Riches powered by Unlock Your Wealth Radio at keystoriches.com. You can also check out those shows here. But if you go to keystoriches.com, you can sign up for our free video series and learn the Keys to Riches financial philosophy for yourself, as well as listen to all of the other past shows, get all of the resources that we talk about when it comes to strategies and making money. It's all available for you there at the website, keystoriches.com. So to check out this week's key and learn about the 3-5 financial strategy and the 5 areas of concern you need to be addressing in order to manage your money more effectively. Right?
Sounds good.
Absolutely. So, let me ask you this before we switch gears here. So had you ever thought about the 5 areas of concern in those terms before you learned it, before we started doing it on the show?
No, not in a real specific way. You know, it's just sort of, it's an innate sort of instinctive thing after a while when you get to be old.
Right. It should be. But, I've managed and, I just started talking to a new financial coaching client that is between our ages, mine and yours, and they actually have neglected 2 of the 5 areas of concern completely.
Which one?
Didn't even consider it. Protections and the final key, asset preservation.
Wow. I mean, those are pretty important parts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, protections is insurance, correct?
Right. No. It's insuring for your success. And it's renting millionaire status until you have it, until you can self-insure. And you've got to have that. And they just totally missed the boat on protections.
I mean, I was insuring myself when I was in my 20s.
Well, but you're super sharp. That's why you're the maestro of moolah.
Yeah, but I mean,
because you conduct your financial affairs well.
I guess. I had a couple kids, so that would be the... Maybe it's
these people have kids too. I'm surprised.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, they just missed a few categories. And that's okay because you know why? Because they have the Keys to Riches financial philosophy now.
Yeah.
So if you want to make sure that you're filling in all of your gaps, be sure to tune into the Keys to Riches powered by Unlock Your Wealth Radio at keystoriches.com. Yay. How about we move on to our moolah word of the day?
Moolah word is a good thing to do.
So it's an interesting term. It is surety bond, or some people pronounce it surety bond, but there is no H in it.
Never heard of it.
A surety bond. It is a bond issued by an entity on behalf of a second party, guaranteeing that the second party will fulfill an obligation or series of obligations to the third party. In the event that the obligations are not met, the third party will recover its losses via the bond. Okay, a fee that is charged when a person loses a physical security issued to him or her has to have a duplicate issued. So, for example, I am a notary public.
Okay.
So I can witness people signing documents. And to fix my little state seal, I had to go through these classes.
It's nice to know you are one when I need one.
Yes, if you ever need a notary public, I'd be happy to authorize something. In order for me to do that, one of the state requirements is that I carry a $5,000 bond.
Yeah.
So in case there's an error or a mistake and somebody is aggrieved based on my notarization of a particular document, then the surety bond covers the damages.
I got you.
So, but if you present me ID... And, well, for you, I know you, or at least I think I know you. It turns out you're some covert spy that I read about in one of my novels. But if I know you, and I see your identification, you present me ID, and your ID looks valid, and the signature matches, then I did my job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all a notary public is supposed to do, is to witness somebody agreeing to something.
It's that simple. Yeah.
I had it so I could notarize documents on behalf of my real estate agents or other people.
What do you have to do to get to be one?
You have to take some class here in the state of Arizona. You have to take a class, submit fingerprints, not be a criminal, things like that.
Okay.
Stuff I got down. stuff I was totally cool with. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I can do this. But it's quite a help because, I mean, you know, what happens when you, you know, like, let's say you're going to go sell a car and it's the weekend and your bank's not open and you need to sign over a title. It has to be notarized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Well, have notary will travel.
Yeah, there you go. Do you charge?
So it's really interesting. So you cannot charge for the actual public service of being a notary, but you can charge a fee for traveling or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. For you, you'll pay double.
Yeah.
Because you'll probably make me sign something I don't want to sign. It'll be trouble. But anyway, so that's what our moolah word of the day is, a surety bond. So, you know, like another example is like if you have to post a bail bond, that's a type of surety bond. Okay. Because, you know, you post that, you buy the bond, and if somebody defaults, then that's how people collect. So it's kind of, you know, what you're doing is you're insuring a third party mm-hmm. against damages. And if there are damages, they use the bond to recover those damages.
Yeah.
So, and that's all I know. That's the extent of my legal knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm not an attorney, but sometimes I play one on TV in my own mind. I'm an attorney on YouTube.
The first time I remember hearing that word notary was on the Jackie Gleason show back in the 50s, The Honeymooners. And of course, Jackie Gleason got everything wrong. And he called it a notary republic.
A notary republic, that's funny. Well, like, you know, sometimes attorneys, like in another, in Mexico, they're like abogado, or, you know, they call them notarios, mm-hmm. notarios.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a notary kind of thing, mm-hmm. sort of, but it has to do with their legal stuff. At least that's the way it was explained to me from somebody who spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
So cool. Anyway, so we have an amazing guest. So it's been a while since I featured one of our Freedom Fest interviews, but this was a really, really important one. And I wanted to make sure that we got this aired, especially because, you know, we're seeing a lot of mud slung here at the end coming toward the election. And some of us are kind of mortified by the behaviors of both candidates.
Both parties, yeah.
But we have to remember that we're not just electing a person, we're electing an ideal. And while the president does have a lot of powers and they are the leader of the free world, Congress can backstop stupid decisions. You know, I mean, I think about, you know, how powerful a president can be. It's limited. You know, you got to think separate but equal, right? So we got to remember that. But when it comes into terms of freedom, okay, we cannot have financial freedom unless we have personal and political freedom. And this interview illustrates what happens when your personal and political freedoms are removed. And it's under the auspices of serving the greater good or the underprivileged. Mm-hmm. We have to be careful. It's a slippery slope. And I just want to kind of caution folks to listen to this story, because they have this ideal in their head of what communism or socialism is like, and we're sliding so far. And, you know, it's like, no, you would never let somebody deliberately knock you off track, but you can be nudged in the wrong direction. And that's with any kind of legislation. But when we start trying to regulate behavior and then regulate people's earnings and then saying who can have money and who's deserving of money without earning it and all that stuff, it becomes a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Today's interview is brought to you by KeepMyID.org, the only service that actually prevents identity theft. All others are just monitoring services. Put your credit on lockdown for Unlock Your Wealth Radio listeners by visiting our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com/KeepMyID and start protecting your family's financial future right now. Remember to use promo code WAGS. So let me tell you a little bit about our guest. Lee Skuland is our guest. Her name, her official Chinese name, is Zhao Li. But in English, she's Lee Skuland. And she's an American educator. She was born in Tianjin, a family of intellectuals. So the Zhao family were intellectuals back in communist China. In 1984, she went to study in the United States, and she won the literature and two master's degrees in business management. She has nearly 30 years of teaching experience. China, she was educated in China and the United States, and she has taught in primary, secondary, and university levels of education. She worked in Sun Yat-sen's alma mater and worked as Barack Obama's alma mater as an educator. She has taught in English, Japanese, world history, and Asian history. She is currently a middle school Chinese middle school teacher in Hawaii. Since 1985, she has hosted dozens of participations and events and a variety of summer camps in many countries around the world. She has had so much experience in facilitating education. And in 2013, she hosted the big summer camp that she does in both Slovakia, Romania, China, Tianjin, and Shenyang. And so she's got just this amazing repertoire. Her passion is for education. And the story that she's going to share with us today is about what it was like being part of the one percenters. So that was the intellectual elite, the financial elite, the athletically elite. So all of these people were kind of lumped into this 1% group. And she's going to talk about what happened when China went communist and what happened during the takeover and the results of what happened to her and her family and what they did to them and her family's wealth. And it's just abhorrent to think that this happened to somebody in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't that long ago.
Yeah.
when she's going to tell this tale. You know what I mean? We're just talking like 50 years ago. This is like, so she was a girl, but I don't want to ruin her telling the story because she just does such a phenomenal job. So let's take a listen, shall we, to this week's Freedom Fest interview from Las Vegas, Nevada, and our interview with Mrs. Lee Skuland. Heather Wagenhals here, host of Unlock Your Wealth Radio and Unlock Your Wealth TV. And we are broadcasting from Freedom Fest here in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino. And I am sitting here visiting with one of our Atlas Society Summer Summit attendees. And this is Lee Skuland. And we were talking about freedom and what freedom means to her. And she's been sharing such an inspiring story. And I wanted you to hear her story of why it's so important that we pay attention each and every day to our values and fight for our rights and not let these crazy people continue to ebb away all of our rights and freedoms. Because if we are not personally free, we're never going to be able to achieve financial freedom. So Lee, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Heather, for inviting me.
So we talked before and you had just the most amazing story. Share with us what freedom means to you and why it means so much, and tell us your story.
Yes, I am Lee. I was born in China in the 1950s. So just the time Mao, the leader of Chinese Communist Party, started war against capitalists and the 1% of the society. So it just happened. My family, my ancestors are all entrepreneurs, bankers, and pioneer in capitalism movement in China. They brought China out of a feudal system and brought China into a modern capitalist society. They were making a lot of wealth and value for the country. Of course, they also became rich and famous. So when the communists took over in 1949, they aroused the so-called the 90% of the poor to get even with the 1% of the rich and famous by confiscating all their properties, all our properties, and strip away our liberty and freedom. And so they thought that that will bring equality to the country. But the reality was the end result is everybody became so poor and then become starved. There's 3 years of starvation in 1960, 61, 62, and 63. So many people died of starvation, even in my family. my grandfather was called to collect his brother-in-law's body from a prison. And when he got there, he couldn't recognize his brother because he was tortured and starved to death. The crime they put on his head was he was the chief engineer for a major mine company. That's the only thing. And he spoke English. So when I was growing up, I saw people died of starvation on the street. And they destroyed all the properties and the factories and stores, and took land away from us and factories. And my great-grandmother was executed because she was a landowner. And even her tenants was protested on that because they said she was the best landowner they had. She provide livelihood for them, give them job opportunities. But the communists said, no, you're a landowner. You are the enemy of the people, so you deserve to die. So our parents, my great-grandfather left China because they were about to put him in prison. Right after he left, all his houses belonged to my grandfather and my parents, and all took it away. And they're still there because it's very well built, but the communist people are living in there. We have no say, even though we didn't have a place to live. And they sent almost 20 people into my grandma's house to live in her house. We have no say because they say, oh, it's not fair. You have 2-bedroom house. And you don't need that many rooms. So they just shuffled other families into her home. And the Red Guards will march into our house and took away everything they think is not we're not supposed to have. For example, my father had more than one pair of shoes. So they piled up the shoes in the yard and then they burned them. They said, oh, other people have no shoes. How come you have more than one pair of shoes? And then they burn our photos. They say, oh, you dress so nice in the photos. You're still smiling. How dare you? Other people are starving. And so that's how they try to eliminate all the people who has wealth, who produce wealth in the society, who are the entrepreneurs and the capitalists. So by doing so, they end up with nothing. Everybody, all I remember from growing up was hungry. We're always hungry. And for more than 10 years, for 2 years, I didn't even have shoes to wear. And so that's what I have to fight for freedom, because freedom means so much to me. And it's a life and death situation. Freedom is not automatically always there. If we don't fight to get it, or we have to fight for preserve it. In this country, people, I think they're too comfortable. They take freedom for granted. So that's why I want to tell people, no, you have to fight to preserve it, because some leader on the top in our government are taking people, taking this country away from freedom, liberty, and prosperity.
Thank you so much for sharing that story. So, so when you got to America, what did you think when you were first here after living under those terrible conditions? I mean, people treated you, that you guys were segregated, weren't you?
Yes, we were labeled black people. They have 10 categories of people, 5 reds, 5 blacks. We're among the 5 blacks. 5 blacks are landowners, rich people, bad people, and right-wing people. And so we're about everything, because my parents are educated, college professor and medical doctors, and then their parents were rich, and so we're almost all the 5 blacks were on our head. So we, for example, when I was little, when we went to the train station, there's 2 gates, one for red, one for black. We have to walk through the black gates. And they put my father in prison, so we're more black than black. And I asked my parents, I asked my mother one time, I said, why can't we pretend we're red? And so we don't get the bad treatment, because when we walk through the black entrance, they can kick us and throw things, rubbish on us and spit on us. I said, why we have to do this? And my mom said, well, they know if they, because our gestures, our manners are different. And when they realize we're cheating, they will beat you to death or put you in prison. So we don't even dare to pretend we're red. And when I came to this country as a graduate student, I thought I came to the land of free. I enjoyed my freedom, especially the respect people treat me as a person. When I was growing up, we were labeled the offspring of dogs. That's what we're called. Yeah, in Chinese, it's gozai, the offspring of dogs. We're not human. We were not treated as human. And so I was treated as a human being, an individual, and respected. I was surprised. And nobody looked down at me, no matter what kind of job I do to support myself, go through graduate school. And I just have dignity. But after a while, after my English got better, I got to pay attention to the politics and the news. I said to my husband, I said, what is going on? This country is going to the wrong direction. It scared me, because I don't want anybody have to live through the horrible life I lived through. So I said, I have to say something. I went to radio station. I write to a letter to the editor. I go to rallies and start talking. I started participating in political campaigns, because I said, I have to say something. People are not know. They don't know where they're going. I argue with the big union leaders about they want to nationalize hospitals, schools, and banks, and they thought it would be a good idea. So I have to tell them, from my personal experience, it's not a good idea. When government knows everything, you have nothing. You thought you were going to be worry-free and provided. No, you end up with nothing. Nobody end up with anything but the few government officials. They live a lifestyle they want to, and everybody else is starving.
And that's such a travesty, because they're just the moochers and the second-handers. They didn't create that wealth. They just took it by force. And I think that that's just so devastating. And I think that that's what people don't realize. They think that they're going to be able to have their cake and eat it too by enforcing all of these socialist policies upon us. But what happens, you know, these people that want this so bad, when they start coming to them for stuff,
yeah,
and start taking their stuff away, they're going to be like, well, wait a minute. I only meant to take away the rich people's stuff, not our stuff.
Yeah, exactly. The socialist speaker here said we should tax the rich 85%. Why the rich people have any reason, incentive to work hard and create produce more?
Exactly.
If you're just taking away from them. And also the funny thing you mentioned, they took our house because our house was so well built, and they live in there. They want to live well.
Yes.
They didn't say, okay, it's a virtuous to be poor, then why don't you just live in the mud
shed? Why aren't you poor?
Yeah.
Reminds me of Hillary Clinton saying, well, why don't nobody else can have guns, but my security people can have guns?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Thank you again for circling back and making Freedom Fest and the Atlas Society Summer Summit so special for me. I really appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for our special interview with Lee Skuland for the Maestro of Moolah, Michael Terry, and Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2016 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com. We'll be right back.
It's the way.